Well, it's good to see each of you this morning. If you would, turn to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. My text will be verse 41 and verse 42. The scripture says that the Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" You know, as we go through this life, multitudes of questions will come to our minds. Some are good questions, and some might be foolish questions. And as someone said, that no question is really foolish if we don't know the answer. And you're not going to have an answer to all your questions. And you might not even be able to ask all the questions, but we do have questions. And amidst the questions that you've raised, there should be one of major importance. Now, perhaps consciously you don't think you've done such a thing, but the question that you either have asked or you need to ask is, who is Jesus? And that's a good question. Who is Jesus? And you know what? This question is a question of vital importance. For what you believe about Him, who He is, will determine your response to Him and your response to God the Father. Now, if you've never pondered that thought, if you've never asked yourself the question, who is Jesus, then I encourage you to ask yourself that question today. Who is Jesus? And then consider the answer. And, they asked questions like that nearly 2,000 years ago. Who is Jesus? Who is this one? And the text before us is just one of a portion of scriptures wherein the inspired writer will mention such a topic. Now, the writer that we have before us is the Apostle John. He's a son of Zebedee. He's called the Beloved. He was a disciple of Jesus. And he was part of what was often called the inner circle. He's with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He followed Jesus through his trial. He was an eyewitness of the resurrected Lord. And again, he is the inspired writer. God inspired him to write. And he writes about this question. Who is Jesus? Now, he's relaying a narrative, an event that took place, and the people here are the ones who raised the question. But with this question in mind, and we have the authoritative Word of God to answer that question, then it's necessary for us to go ahead and seek the answer. So I want to speak to you today what I have entitled, Who is Jesus? And we're going to use these two verses and others to answer the question. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we know that some could not be here today due to sickness, and we ask that you'd be pleased to touch these and heal them and raise them up. And Lord, just give them good health again very, very soon. Others could not be here due to providential hindrance. We ask that you would bless them. And Lord, just meet every need of every heart. We pray especially for those that are in our midst today who are lost, that you would convict them of their sin, that you would draw them to Jesus and grant unto them repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. And Lord, if they've never asked that question, who is Jesus, I pray that they would ask it today and that they would see an answer through the scriptures of who he is and that they would respond properly to him and be saved, even as so many of us are here today. We thank you for your love toward us. Thank you for the salvation we have in Christ Jesus. And so we pray for your guidance and your direction as we look into these things. We just love you, we want to honor you, and we desire to worship you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who is Jesus? Now, I want to give you the context for our passage here today in chapter 6, verse 41 and verse 42. And the context really is going to cover the entire chapter 6. Now, I'm not going to read all these verses. I'm just going to basically refer you back, and you can kind of look, you can skim, you can go through this text, but you'll find at the beginning of the chapter how that the multitudes were there, and Jesus fed the multitudes of about 5,000, and he did so with five loaves and two fishes, and After that, he went up in a mountain to pray while he sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. So they were in the boat. He was in the mountain. And in the night, he came walking on the water. And they were very much afraid of who it was and came walking on the sea. The next day, he gave a very doctrinal discourse at Capernaum. And so just realize the feeding of the 5,000, went up to pray on the water. The next day, he begins to teach. And this is where our text becomes involved. Now, his message that he began on that day was an answer to a question back in verse 25. They just asked him, when did you come here? He didn't get in the boats with them. He walked across the water. And so, when did you get here? And that was a very telling question for them. But his response was kind of curious because he didn't really answer about how he got there, but his response to their desiring of him. You see, the people were seeking after him because of their personal satisfaction. They had eaten and they were filled. And so he tells them to labor for something more than food. So you can look at verse 26 and verse 27 where he mentions those things about, you don't seek me because of who I am. You seek for what I've done for you. And so then they asked him about what type of work that they should be doing. And he told them to believe on the Son. And you can find that in verse 29. Now, of course, when he spoke about believing on the Son, he's directing that toward himself. And so this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And they in turn then asked for a sign. And they boasted that the Jewish heritage of which they had partaken of course, being Jews, they had eaten manna. Haven't you noticed that religious folk have a real strong tendency toward religious things like that? And the manna was a big deal for the Jews, and it was. We don't take anything away from that. But they brought up this idea of manna. So Jesus pursues their conversation, and he spoke about a type of bread which came from heaven. And so you can glance at that in verse 32. Moses gave you manna. I'm giving you a bread which comes from heaven. And then he boldly replied, I am the bread of life. Then he speaks of their unbelief, and then on to how that he had been obedient to his Father. They weren't, but he was. And that he also then says in verse 38 that he came down from heaven to do his Father's will. Now our text finds Jesus murmuring, the Jews rather, murmuring about his words regarding coming from heaven. He said, I've come from heaven. They didn't like that. They were upset about that. And their reasoning was because they knew Joseph and Mary. How in the world could he have come from heaven? We know them. So this doesn't make any sense. So Jesus rebuffs them, and he expresses to them that they need to believe, and he restates what he had already said unto them, and you can glance at verse 48 where he says, I am that bread of life. And then he follows up that with a contrast between manna and the bread of life, how that those who ate the manna died, but that those who would partake of him should live forever. And, well, if you read through the passage there, the Jews proceed to concern themselves with cannibalism. How is it we can eat you? You know, so they just really didn't quite pick up the story, did they? And Jesus answers with his spiritual application and the necessity for them to partake of him. Now, all this doctrine that he taught on that day, and you can go back and read all those verses in your own time, it was very difficult for those people to hear. And so in verse 60, it expresses that very idea that they said, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? And so what you then find is that Jesus speaks about their unbelief. And many of those people who had followed him now walk away from him, never to follow him anymore. These had been his disciples, so to speak. But they didn't like what he had to say on that day, so they walked off. Now, concerning our text, there are two highlights I want to give to you. Number one, the Jews desired a sign of him, and then they boasted of manna. And then number two, he declared that he was the bread of life that came down from heaven. As a result, verse 41, verse 42, let's focus on our text. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Do you understand, my friend, that these verses specifically deal with the identity of Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus? They think they know who he is, but they're not on the mark, are they? They're off the page. Who is Jesus? Now, I know that you probably believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and rightly so. You have asked yourself that question. You have the answers to that from a biblical sense, but do you realize that there are many people who ask themselves who Jesus is, and we want to know about this man, but that's all they conclude, is that he was just a man, that he was a teacher, that he was a prophet, he was a good man, but nothing more. Some believe that Jesus was a result of an affair between Mary and a Roman soldier. These people were expressing that Jesus was the offspring of Joseph and Mary. Well, why would they think that? Well, it makes sense that they would think that. And we're going to speak about that in just a moment. But the key here is, when you ask yourself this question, who is Jesus? That's what they're asking. Who is this guy? And this brings in a very important doctrine, which is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Was Jesus Christ born of a virgin? Now, we believe that he did. And the scripture, and I didn't take time to give you all the references that speak about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, but I'm absolutely convinced that Jesus was born of a virgin, Virgin Mary. And he did not have an earthly father, but his father is God in heaven. And why does this make a difference? Because if he had an earthly father, he's no different than you and me. He would have a human nature just like you and me. He would not have a divine nature of which he possessed because he was of the Father. Now, I understand that it's difficult to comprehend the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to describe how that he can be all God as if he were no man and all man as if he were no God. But I believe it to be so because the Scriptures teach it to be so. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was not the product of a Roman soldier. He was not the product of Joseph. My friend, he was born of God. Why does this make a difference? Well, look at chapter 7. John chapter 7. Notice their further discussion as they go along, and we find these other references. Excuse me. John chapter 7, verse 26. But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Now, the Christ means anointed. The anointed one is the Messiah. The Jews were looking for the Messiah to come. He was the one sent of God who would deliver the Jews and rule and reign over them. Now, this statement is, do they not know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit, notice this statement in verse 27, we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. You see their understanding, their comprehension. When we know, they say he's the Christ. Some think he's the Christ, but when Christ comes, we won't know his origin. We won't know where he comes from, but we know where he came from. Then we just notice that in the passage in chapter 6. Is not his mother and father here? Joseph and Mary? Look over to chapter 8. Chapter 8. What had Jesus told them? But they certainly did not believe. Now they were making the statement about the Christ that you wouldn't know where he's from. Jesus said in John, chapter 8, verse 23, he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Look at verse 25. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. My friend, where did Jesus come from? Who is he? Is he the offspring of Joseph and Mary, as they are thinking? Jesus said, you are from beneath, I'm from above. Was Jesus just a product of procreation? No. God is his Father. He comes from above. He says, you're of this world. All of us are of this world. All of us are from beneath. But not Jesus. Because he had an earthly mother, but he had a heavenly Father. And he says, I am not of this world. And so they ask a good question. Well, who are you then? I mean, can you imagine in our society somebody come up and start making statements like this? That's what we're going to ask. Well, who do you think you are then? Where'd you come from? Turn over to the book of John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Notice verse 7. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Notice the proclamation. Here's a human being making a proclamation that he's the Son of God. And so the Jew says, well, he ought to die because he made a statement like that. Notice Pilate's response, verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and rightly so, and went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Now, why would Pilate ask him that? Because the Jews just reported to him, he said he was the Son of God. That means he's not from here, my friends. He's from up there. So Pilate goes in and says, where are you from? Whence art thou? Turn back, if you would, to the book of Luke chapter 3 for just a moment. We know in our text that they believe that he was the son of Joseph and Mary. They think they know the family, and rightly so, they did know the lineage of Joseph, who was his stepfather. You can read in the accounts of the lineage of both Mary and Joseph, but you'll notice in Luke chapter 3, as we have the lineage, how the Luke makes it very clear as he writes. Verse 23 of Luke 3. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, notice the parentheses there, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, and on and on and on. As was supposed. Now, we know that they didn't have the Gospels at this juncture, but they knew Mary and Joseph. They knew they came from Galilee. They knew that he was the son of a carpenter. That's their perspective. He was supposed to be the son of Joseph and Mary. That just makes sense to them. They're not thinking in divine terms. So when he says, I'm come down from heaven, they said, well, how can that be? We know your mom and dad. I mean, truly, if you told me that you came down from heaven, I'd be saying, well, you know what? I don't think you did. Would they have acted any different? No. You see, it's absolute important that Jesus Christ be born of a virgin, because that makes a difference in who he is. Because if he was of Joseph, then they were correct. If he was just an offspring, just like every one of us are offsprings, then you know what? We're really wasting our time here. We might as well just shut up the doors and close up the book and let's leave and let's go home. Let's not fool with this anymore, because he's no different than you and me, and he couldn't do anything for us. And by the way, he couldn't have been a good man and a good teacher, because if that was true, he was a liar. And so for people to say, well, he was a good man and a good teacher, yet he said he was the Son of God and came down from heaven and he was the bread of life and he gives life to all who believe, that couldn't have make him a good teacher. He'd be a liar. So either way, we'd be done with, wouldn't we? If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, if he wasn't born of Mary, if God is not his Father, then we are wasting our time. They would be wasting their time. But I submit unto you that he wasn't born of Joseph, and he wasn't born of some Roman soldier. God was his Father. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God. That's who he is. God manifest in the flesh. That's Jesus Christ. Now, if you would, turn to the book of John chapter 7 for just a moment. In the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll find that there's a fulfillment of Scripture. Now, he fulfilled Scripture throughout his life in all that he did. I mean, he was born of, his mother was a virgin. He had, his birth was described in the Scriptures. His life was described in the Scriptures. He fulfilled Scripture there. His miracles, all that he did, his death, all that was prophesied in the Scripture. There's a value to fulfilled Scripture, isn't there? Now, we've already mentioned that he was the Christ. We believe that he was the Christ. He was the anointed one. Look into chapter 7 and notice verse 40. See their discussion. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. They're thinking this might be the Messiah. But others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Now that's a problem, isn't it? Where did Jesus reside? Where did he grow up? He grew up in Galilee. And so they're talking about Jesus Christ, and they said, well, wait a minute. Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Verse 42, hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. His identity was absolutely crucial here, wasn't it? What was his mother, Mary and Joseph? Well, they came out of Galilee. Christ doesn't come out of Galilee. The Scriptures doesn't define the Messiah as coming from Galilee. He's the son of David. He comes out of Bethlehem. Now again, they didn't have the Gospels. They didn't have the account. They didn't understand that Joseph and Mary had gone down to be taxed down in Bethlehem, and she gave birth while she was at Bethlehem, and how the angel warned them to flee, and how they went to Egypt and then came back and then went to Galilee. They didn't understand all that. So in their perspective, they're looking at this and they're saying, well, who is this guy? We know his mother and his father. We know where he lives. He can't be the Christ. Oh, but I'll tell you, he did fulfill the Scripture, didn't he? Why, even in verse 52, as they continue to discuss the matter of his person, it says, they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. So they're saying, well, this guy can't be him. They're mistaken, aren't they? Jesus is the fulfillment of Scripture. He is the Christ. Now, Jesus gave personal testimony to this. Turn over to John chapter 16. Three references here. Jesus gave reference that he wasn't of the world. We've already seen a few of those things. But John chapter 16, look at verse 28. He says, I came forth from the Father. I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. What's he saying? He's saying God in heaven is his heavenly Father. And when he came from heaven to earth. And when he dies, he's going to leave earth and go back to heaven. Did he ever profess that he was of God? Absolutely. Look over into chapter 17 in his earthly prayer to the Father. Chapter 17, in verse 5, he says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The preexistence of Jesus Christ. Jesus being God has existed forever. He says, glorify thou me with the glory that I had before the world was. Look down into verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. None of us can claim that. None of us can say that we had a preexistence. Now, there are some who believe in a stockpile theory of souls, that when God created the universe, he made all these souls and they're just kind of laid up on the shelf. And when people procreate down here, he takes a soul off and jams it into a body. That's kind of their idea. No, I don't believe that. I believe that I came into existence when God brought me into existence through my parents. That's how you came into existence. Now, how did Jesus come into existence? Well, he didn't have an earthly father. He preexisted. Well, who is Jesus? He's God who come to earth. John chapter 10. Would you look at these few verses? John 10. Look at verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, if you're the anointed one, tell us plainly. Notice, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He said, I've told you. I am the Christ. I come from heaven. I'm the bread of life. You must repent. You must believe on me. I'm the only way that you can see the Father. I'm your only access. But they would not believe. Are you here today asking the question, who is Jesus, but you will not believe? As I speak about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, you're saying, well, that just doesn't make sense to me. There's no way that could happen. Are you turning away in unbelief? Are you denying that He fulfilled the Scriptures? Are you denying His own personal testimony that He said He came down from the Father? Well, you can do that if you wish. But you see, what you're saying is that in your summation, Jesus is not who He said He was. Therefore, you're not going to repent and believe, and you don't need to, because you don't accept His person. Who is Jesus is a very vital question. What do you believe about Him today? Do you believe that He is God in the flesh? Does the Scripture in other places, do other witnesses describe who Jesus is? Let me give you three other witnesses in reference to the Scripture, and then one other I'll discuss with you. Go to John chapter 1. What about John the Baptist? You remember John? Over in John chapter 1 and verse 15 it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. He goes on to say this, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. John witnessed that Jesus Christ was the Christ, that he was the Messiah. John bare witness to that. You ought to believe it. Over in the book of Matthew in chapter 17, I invite you to turn over there, just a couple references. God Himself testified about His own Son. Over in Matthew 17, this is the Mount of Transfiguration account. And something occurs here while they're on the mount. Verse 5 says, while He yet spake, behold, a cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, notice, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Over in the book of Mark chapter 1. What is that? God Himself has testified, this is My Son. He couldn't have been an offspring of Joseph and Mary. You say, but Galilee, it doesn't matter, does it? He was born in Bethlehem. He went to Egypt. The Scripture says, out of Egypt He called His Son. So you see, Jesus Christ is exactly who He said He was. Scriptures testify it. God Himself testified it. At the baptism of Jesus, when John did baptize Him, Mark chapter 1, verse 11, it says, there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God testified that Jesus was His Son. Turn, if you will, to one other place, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. While you're turning over there, I submit unto you the life of Jesus Christ. All of His deeds, all the signs, all the miracles, all the wonders of which He performed completely throughout the New Testament gives testimony to the fact that He is exactly who He said He was. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, one other place, and I've asked you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, other witnesses are those who viewed the resurrection and just the fact that He was raised to begin with. The first to be raised from the dead, never to be to die again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, He was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due season. My friend, I say unto you that Jesus Christ was crucified, He was buried, but He rose again the third day. He's at the right hand of the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for His people. And one of these days, He is coming back again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves His divinity. He said He was the Christ. He said He was going to die. He said He was going to be buried. And He said He was going to rise again. And you know what? He did. Now, back in John chapter 6, those people said, we don't know about this guy because we know Joseph and Mary. They're with us. He came from Galilee. There's no way. That doesn't match up biblically from their perspective. They did not understand who Jesus Christ is. But in these few moments, I've shown you from the Scripture, God's Word, who Jesus is. Would you accept the testimony of Scripture? Would you believe God as He speaks concerning His own Son? So in conclusion, I ask you, who is Jesus? Who is He? Is He just a man? Was He like you and me? Was Joseph really his father? Or did Mary really have an affair with a Roman soldier? Or was she a virgin? And God came over her and overshadowed her by His Spirit. And Jesus was conceived in her. And God is His Father. That's what it is, isn't it? Yeah, He's just not a man. He wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a wise man. He wasn't just a prophet. Who is Jesus? Is He God's Son? Unequivocally, yes. That's who He is. Jesus is God's Son. Now I ask you, you have to ask yourself, who is Jesus? How do you answer? Well, you know how I answer. You know what I believe. I say with full assurance. I speak with all boldness. I believe that Jesus is the precious Son of God. And He is the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. You see over in Matthew 1:21, He says, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Jesus Christ is exactly who He said He is. God manifest in the flesh. And why did He do that? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said that He was the bread of life. Anybody that partakes of Him will never perish. You know, sinner, today you can have forgiveness of your sin. You can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You can be made cleansed before the Lord today. But I'll tell you, you're going to have to know who Jesus is. If you deny the Son, you deny the Father. You can't say, "Well, I believe in God and I'm going to reject this one called Jesus." You can't do it that way. If you receive the Son, you receive the Father. You receive the Father, you receive the Son. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by Me." If you choose today in your skepticism to reject the biblical answer of Jesus Christ, you can't accept that He was born of a virgin. You can't believe that He's the Son of God. You think that He was just like everybody else, but He was a good man and He did something good on the cross and He was a good example for us. Then, my friend, you're going to die and go to hell. Because salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. It's by grace through faith in Him. Everything that we need, He accomplished for us. He shed His blood for us. He suffered on the cross for us. He endured our hell for us. And the only way we can be saved is through Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man. And it's the man, Christ Jesus. I say unto you, in answer to the question, who is Jesus? He's God manifest in the flesh. He's the Savior. That's who He is. Then we must conclude, if this be true, if Jesus Christ is who He said He was, if He's God's Son, if He's the Savior, we can conclude some things. One, what He said was true. God's not going to lie. What He said was true. Number two, His sacrifice on the cross is of supreme value. You know what makes the difference between Jesus and anybody else that ever was crucified? Because of who He was and what took place while He was on the cross. That's spiritual warfare going on. And Isaiah 53 says that God looked down and saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. He purchased my redemption on the cross. Shed His blood for me. Thousands have died on crosses. But Jesus was God's Son. He died on the cross for sinners. Why would He do that? Number three, I believe that Jesus being the Son of God and doing what He did is a precious manifestation of the love of God. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends." I've already referred you to John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son." 1 John talks about how that the love was manifested, and Christ gave up His life. Yes, Jesus is God's Son. Because He is God's Son, what He did proves the love of God towards sinful men. I'm glad that God loves sinners. God provides a way for sinners. But it also proves to me in the fourth sense that He indeed rose again and He is alive this very moment. Jesus Christ, being God, is alive. And one of these days He's coming back again, and that's the fifth point. He will come exactly as He said. He said, I'll go away, I'll come again, and I'll receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. If Jesus is God, you can mark it down. He's coming again. Well, He is God, so He is coming again. You say, well, I don't see the promises coming. We've been looking for Him for centuries. He hadn't come back yet, but He will. He will, my friend. Are you ready? Are you prepared to see Jesus face to face? Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. He's the Savior. So, and the last item that I want to make comment about is this. Every one of us ought to respond properly to the Son of God. Because that's who He is. How have you responded? You know, dear Christian, you're saved today. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've trusted Him. But you know there are some Christians who never follow the Lord in scriptural baptism? You know that's disobedience. He's the Son of God. Follow your Lord in scriptural baptism. Some people aren't members of His church. You know what? He's your God. He's the Son of God. You ought to be a member of His church. Will you serve Him? Is Jesus Christ really just a fire escape? Well, I'm saved. I can go about my life, do whatever I want. I'm going to heaven when I die. Or is there the fact that He is now our Lord and our Master and we bow the knee to Him and we now want to serve Him and love Him to be found faithful to Him? Jesus is the Son of God, so may we serve Him as He deserves to be served and He desires for us to serve Him. But then if you're here and you're lost, we use the terminology, you're not saved. Does it mean anything to you that Jesus is the Son of God? It should. And what it means is, you need to trust Him. You need to believe on Him. Because heaven is real, hell is real, judgment is real, the love of God is real, forgiveness of sin is real. My friend, you will exist somewhere after you die in the flesh. Will it be with Jesus in heaven? Not if you reject Him. Not if you deny Him. Sinner friend, you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. You need to be saved. You need to accept who He is. That He is God in the flesh. That He is the Messiah. That He is the Savior. And He told you to come to Him. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's what Jesus said. And He says, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know what a promise that is? If you repent today and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He will not turn you away. He'll receive you with open arms. You can be saved today. Who is Jesus? Who do you believe Him to be? If you're not saved, you need to be. You need to trust Him. If you're saved, then may we serve Him, may we follow Him, may we be found faithful. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this. Right where you are, if God speaks to your heart, by His Spirit moves in you and you realize that you're lost, you're undone, and you need Jesus, then right where you are, call upon Him. You can be saved. If you need help, you come. We'll be glad to help you. We'll be glad to show you more verses. We want you to know Jesus. We want you to be saved today. But God has to work in your heart, and we want you to move and respond according to God's working in your heart. And maybe you're here and you're saved, and you haven't been what you ought to be for Christ, and He's your Lord, He's your Savior, but you know you've been wayward. You need to make that right where you are. Maybe you want to join this church by letter, promise a letter. Maybe you've never been scripturally baptized by water, immersion under the authority of God's local church. Then you need to do that. As Christians, we want to be found faithful because He's God. He's our Savior. Well, may the Lord bless you and work in your heart as only He can do it. Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for Your goodness toward us. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for meeting with us. And we ask that You just speak to every heart according to Your will. We ask You to save the lost and strengthen the saved. Just meet every need as we cast our care upon You. And Lord, we want to draw near to You. You said you draw near to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?